Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so page 24. Okay. Sutra 134. Prana Pritcha. Pritcha. Prana Brit, the Jiva, Cha, and. The abode of heaven and earth is not the Jiva because there are no words describing the Jiva in the passage. Sutra Pakashita, right? Heaven, earth, so. This sutra rules out the Jiva's claim as the abode of heaven and earth. Dyuva Jayatanam. The reasons are those mentioned earlier, namely the inapplicability of the word Atma in its primary sense. Right? Because Atma meaning in its primary sense is that which is spread everywhere. So the individual Jiva is not spread everywhere. You can say Jivas are spread everywhere, like that, but you can't say Jiva is spread everywhere. Right? So that's the So the individual can't claim he is the supreme because he's not spread everywhere. And if he is, that means there wasn't enough marmalade, right? Govinda Bhashya. Prana Brich Cha. The abode of heaven and earth is not the Jiva because there are no words describing the Jiva in the passage. Na and the cause. Atach Chabda should be understood. From the previous sutra. The passage does not refer to the Jiva because it does not contain any words referring to the Jiva. Right? It means the... What was it? Okay. Where was the Chabdat? Oh, okay, Chabdat, because of a word. Okay, so that point comes across to this sutra. Okay. Choprana Brit Cha, so that means it's a continuation of the last one. So you're saying, from the last one, that you're saying, Pradhan cannot be meant because some of the words refer to a conscious entity. And, also, it can't refer to the Jiva because it doesn't. There's no words referring to that. The passage does not refer to the Jiva because it does not contain any words referring to the Jiva. The word Atma cannot be mean. The Jiva. Okay. Yeah. It's the problem with Chicago these last 2 days, right? In this passage, because etymologically, Atma means that which spreads out, Atati. I guess it's only proper, because then you get all the ethnicities there, right? Yesterday was the... Okay. And Brahman, okay. Because etymologically, Atma means that which spreads out, Atati. And Brahman is the principal entity which does so, being all-pervading. Right, or meaning that jivas are spread everywhere, but it's not that the jiva themselves is all pervading, right? Because we're being technical here. So we describe the jiva's atma, meaning that we're separating from the body, that it is conscious and the body is not. right? So there's pradhan, which is not conscious. The jiva is conscious, but is not spread everywhere. So since it says it's conscious being, which is spread everywhere, that describes Brahman. It does not describe pradhan or the jiva.
Maharaj, your atma is derived from the word atiti.
Yes, that's what it's saying. Means that you mean that's your primary. Means you can get secondary, like we're saying. The jivas are also known as Atman because they're conscious, so they're a portion of Brahman. Mm-hmm. Because we're only, but it's not, the pradhan's not a part of Brahman also. But the point is that when we're describing self-realization, the important part is the what's conscious, not what's unconscious. Mm-hmm. Right.
The jiva pervades only in the field of the senses.
That's there, but it's only within their body, so it's not pervading everywhere. We're talking about on that Brahman platform that jivas are everywhere, and pradhan is everywhere. But the point is that we're only dealing with pradhan being everywhere, anywhere, everywhere, that it's unconscious, so it can't be referring, that can't be referring there. And the jiva, though they're conscious, they as an individual not spread everywhere. There may be jivas everywhere. So that means those can be secondary meanings for these. But the primary meaning has to mean that which spreads out. So that means Brahman is the one who spreads out. Because it's Brahman who spreads the jivas out and the pradhan out. They don't spread themselves out. Understand? And Brahman is the principal entity which does so, being all-pervading. And all other words such as yasarva yasarvavit, he is all-knowing, Mundaka Upanishad 2.7, apply to Brahman, not the jiva, because the jiva is never known as all-knowing. Because otherwise, if he's all-knowing, then why the discussion about ignorance? Thus, since there are no words describing the jiva should not be accepted as the abode of heaven and earth. Right? So that's the discussion. Remember before you were thinking Atma is the point. But no, Atma is one of the words being discussed. Mm-hmm. In it, heaven and earth, that's the point of discussion. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, okay. So that was footnote from it. Bhagavatam verse reference. The terms heaven and earth do not indicate the individual soul is the goal. For like matter, the jivas are the subordinate energy of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.16.52. In this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, the conditioned soul expands, thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand, but because they are my energies, they are both pervaded by me. Right? So you can say they're expanding, but the one who is doing the expanding, who is pervading even that, that's the Lord. That was your one or my one?
I should change the sound.
As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects. So that means their effects. So here Atman means the primal source, means it's the one who is pervading. It's not an effect. It's just an existence. While the external energy and the jiva being pervading, that's an effect. So Krishna does that. He glances on the material nature. In the glance, the living entities go in to the material nature like that. And one should know that both of them rest in me. Yes.
It says that the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. So you are the jiva. If you think in terms of the varnashram, then we have the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and the sannyas. But then the material energy doesn't expand. For the grihastha ashram, this is meant.
Yes, but you could say for the grihastha, the material energy expanding. But the point is because everyone thinks of the controller and enjoyer, that expansion is there, just maybe less expanded. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Means they only have one kind of thing that they, you know what I'm saying? Means the brahmachari is very happy with, half a bucket of plain halava. right? You know, properly plain meaning just suji, sugar, milk, water. You know, while the grahasta, you have to put some strawberry, you have to put this, you have to put that. Now, otherwise, plain challah, who eats that, right? You know, so it goes on like that. You understand? So that's the thing. But this is the point that when we were discussing yesterday about on dharma, this is the actual essential aspect that when we say that you're giving up religion means you're giving up the desire to enjoy that religion. Because religion will give, from dharma comes artha, from artha kama. So we're giving up that, and we're just taking that from dharma going to moksha, to bhakti. So we're performing the dharma without attachment. Right, so renunciation means this dharma, I get the artha, and then I give it to Krishna. Sannyasa means I perform the dharma, the result that comes is already Krishna, so therefore it's a liberated position. Then the bhakti, right? So that aspect of giving up, that's the essential point. See, we look at these religions that the religion itself is the important point. It's the giving up of the desire to enjoy the religion that actually makes the difference. That's why it's hard for us to understand. Because we're taking it, control and enjoy, as just a given. So that's why it looks confusing that Krishna says, give up all religion and just surrender. But it means give up the desire to control and enjoy that religion and just surrender to Krishna. So therefore, Bhagavad Dharma is the highest religion, because by performing Bhagavad Dharma, means all other dharmas are going to be engaged in Krishna's service. That's Bhagavad Dharma. But when I take the religion, use it for myself, that's called religion. Right? But then now if I connect that religion to Krishna, that's also called Bhagavad Dharma, but it's mixed devotional service. So pure devotional service means I am engaging in the dharma without an idea to enjoy that dharma. I'm simply trying to perform that dharma for Krishna. That's Sarva Dharma Parikrishna. Right? Because then in that context, it becomes very easy to understand. Otherwise, it's always confusing because it's, oh, but it says this and that. So we can enjoy. No, you can't. Oh, that we give up everything and do nothing. No, you're supposed to do stuff. Oh, we're doing stuff. That gets a result. I can enjoy. No, it's for Krishna. Oh, so we give it all. And that's what you just go on and on and on for years and years and years and years and years and years. Yes. Yes.
This desire to please only Krishna, as we are not the doers, so actually it's coming from Krishna. It should be coming from Krishna.
And where are we going with this? Therefore, why doesn't he do it? Why do I have to do it?
That's another part. Okay.
That's a different discussion.
But what is our part?
Instrument.
So we're not that good of an instrument even.
That's the problem. It means we're supposed to be stirring the subject and we're not actually that good of a spoon. So
so we help ourselves, help Krishna and ourselves be better spoon if we desire and follow the process.
Yes. Means we're following the recommended process and we're taking part in that, because actually the cause and effect is Krishna. Right, because of the primary and secondary aspects of the creation. So what we're doing, it's not that we create. You know, we're thinking, I'm creating business. But no, business already exists. We're only taking part as an instrument and performing the activities within business that therefore generate the proper... means if we deal with business according to its nature, then you make profit. Right? You deal with business not according to its nature, you lose. Right? And so then business already exists and the laws already exist. We simply have to take part and do. So it looks, so in that way we're doing, but we're not doing. Because we're not making the profit, we're not making the laws, we're not transforming, causing the transformation of the material energy. You know what I'm saying? We're not turning raw material into goods, into money. It's just that material nature is doing. So we're already just taking part as an instrument. But we're falsely thinking, I'm doing this. So when we say, no, you're not the doer, then we think, I have to give this up. No, you have to give up the mentality that we thought we were doing something in the first place. So we were never doing anything. We were always just assisting. You understand? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is our definitions of terms then make it hard to understand the reality, because we're not accepting the real definitions, because we have no experience of them. Every living entity thinks of the controller and enjoyer, so therefore every living entity is the doer, and because otherwise how do you have possession and proprietorship if I haven't done it? Right? If I'm simply an instrument, it's not mine. Right? You know, does that make sense? The man is delivering the package, right? And then when the package gets there, he can't claim it's his because he delivered it, right? So, but if let's say we have a society of thieves, then you know it got in their truck and that's theirs. You know, and only if they don't want it, then they deliver it. You know, they get in the one guy's driving, the other guy's in the back opening it. So what is it? This, that? You want any? No. You nah. Okay, you can seal it back up. You know, okay, yeah, you can see back in. Yeah. You understand? So like that, then so the definitions are a problem. That's why the Bhagavatam definitions are there. And we'll say, oh, well, that's just philosophy. No, that's the real substance. What we're dealing with is dreams. I'm the controller and enjoyer. And then we're taking dreams as substance, and substance as, oh, theory and not practical. You know what I'm saying? Because if you have substance, let's say you have a real bathroom, okay? Now you walk into the real bathroom, you close the door, right, facing the door, you lock the door, and when you turn around, what's there? A bathroom, right? But in a dream, you go in, lock, close the door, turn around, you're in an open field. You know, said, what happened to the bathroom? Right, right. Yeah, so, so that's... yeah, no, it's really annoying. And they'll finally you wake up and go to the bathroom. You know, that was the real problem.
Make sure that's the real bathroom you're going
to. Yeah. Yeah. So, we have these definitions of how we're the controller and enjoyer, and that's real. And it's practical. When the Bhagavatam definitions is, no, it's Krishna's. The 14 planetary systems are Krishna. So that means every living entity is on one of the 14 planetary systems. Right? And that, you know, unless he's completely, you know, not in contact with, you know, how you say, the unreal reality, then we know him as spaced out, and so no one knows what planetary system he's in. But other than that, then he's on that. So that system being Krishna, that means everybody has a relationship with Krishna. But we think it's Krishna's not there. Everything we're dealing with is Krishna. So we're only an instrument in the unfolding of the, how you say, the laws of nature in that situation that gains certain results. So that means, since we're not the one that creates the situation, we're not the one that transforms the situation, we're not the one that is the results of that transformation, then therefore it's not ours. But we're all defining this as mine. Does that make sense? So that's the things Bhagavatam's giving the real. Vedanta gives the real definitions. And other definitions of the other five schools, their definitions are so that we can in some way maintain that I'm the controller and enjoyer. You may give up the gross concept of control and enjoy, but the subtle, that's not given up in any of these schools. Is that
the Karna Sharir?
The Karna Sharir. Only by Vaishnava Vedanta can it be given up. So even Shankara Vedanta, which they're discussing here, that's not given up. Right? It just can't be given up. So, yeah. Okay, footnote 14. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur begins his purport to this verse by praising an objection similar to the to this Adhikaranas Purva Paksha. If you are everything, then the devotee should meditate on all living entities as the object of worship, and they would be the Antaryami. In the material world, the jivas has the status of the enjoyer. The world is situated as the object of enjoyment for the jiva, Atmani. Both the jiva and the world are pervaded by me. Both exist as products in me. The Adhishtana, Karna, cause of being the support. All beings are products of my shaktis, are temporary and do not arise from my sarup. Therefore, they should not be the object of meditation and worship.
Do not arise from my sarup.
That means this internal body.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, so all these things are happening, so it's not coming out properly. It'd probably be better if they either left it all in small like it is here, and then you know it's the jiva and it's just being tongue-in-cheek, or they would put them into capitals so that you know that it's Krishna. Mm. Means it, if you are everything, the devotion, and they would be the antithama.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking it from the other point, then it would mean they're not.
Yes.
So if the Lord's speaking here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so this point that the world is situated as the object of enjoyment for the jiva, because that's the general concept that's there, like even in the Old Testament. Then it mentions that the Lord gives all this to the living entities and they should be happy. How does that mean they should be happy? It means they should therefore take those things, use them in the Lord's service, that way be happy.
Wow.
Huh? Yeah, but we see that everybody will take it that, no, God gave me this to enjoy. So, you know, and he gave it to me, not those guys.
It's in my truck.
Yeah, no. Land of milk and honey is ours, not theirs. Like that. And the discussion's still going on.
Is Antaryami always regarded as the sun?
As a sun or as the sun?
As Surya.
It means Surya is seen in this way, but also Antaryami means how he's in everyone's heart, in every atom, between every atom, like that. So there's so many aspects to Antaryami. Right. So in other words, the Krishna is the cause and effect. Krishna is the source of the jivas. And so therefore, then you can't say that they are the ones that are doing all this. People may like to say that, to think like that, but it's not going to.
So you have that statement, but for the grace of God, go away. So one could make that argument that I'm doing this on behalf of the Lord. So how do you make sure that we don't make that mistake?
It means doing something on behalf of the Lord is not the problem. It's that how do you know, like you're saying, is what's recommended in Scripture. Right? You know, so since God doesn't say that you just go out and there's a caravan of camels and they're wearing rags on their heads, so you go and lop their heads off, and therefore then everyone goes, you know, it's the will of God, it's the will of God, yeah, it's the will of God, like that. Because where in Scripture does it say do that? So that's the whole point, is what is defined in Scripture, that's what you're, how you define. Otherwise, then, that's what we were discussing before. I'm a devotee, so I do devotional service, so anything I do is devotional. You know, we're taking, you know, in the syllogism here, we're taking ourselves, we're taking bhakti, and then activity. And we're saying, because I'm doing bhakti, therefore any activity I'm doing is bhakti. But that means, yes, recommended devotional activities in the right mentality are bhakti. And if I'm performing those, then what I'm performing is bhakti. But if I'm just performing an activity, and that activity is not what's recommended, it's not bhakti, so what I'm performing is not bhakti. But that logic is misapplied. You know, it's just It's just not using your brain.
I thought that was the definition of sahaja, that whatever...
They don't use their brain?
Well,
They identify, and
therefore whatever I do...
You could say that, because it said the razor's edge, so one side's sahaja, one side's impersonalism. You know, so it's either I give it up or, you know, I can enjoy it. Yeah. So am I giving it up as devotion? Am I enjoying it as devotion? But the point is, it has to be what's recommended. Yeah.
Practically speaking, you can't avoid it, understand, at least learning the rules of engagement. Many times we practice ritual consciousness, we skirt around that aspect to actually understand what.
Because then who's in control? Right, we have to follow the scriptures, but scriptures are Krishna's breathing, so that you can't avoid. Right, but we try to avoid, because then we maintain as the controller. Right, and if you're the controller, you're the enjoyer. Right, and so then that's the need. You exist. You're as a controller, and you're happy because you're the enjoyer. So that's good.
In this context. There is a pastime of Madhvacharya, and he just starts to learn Vedanta from his guru. The introductory verse of the Mayavadi Sannyasi, he writes, "I offer obeisances to myself," because it refers to Antaryami and all.
Oh.
So his guru speaks there, and he was just the first class. So then Madhvacharya said, "So instead of me offering respect to you, then you offer respect to me." Then he becomes very upset. He closes the book, and for 2 days they didn't discuss. His guru was meditating on that point.
Okay.
Then he also says that means all the Vedic verses where we have to treat guru as God, all those have no meaning.
So he trained it. Okay. And so after that the guru understood? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Just like you said.
Annoying student.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I think the same thing happened with Ramanuja, right? Sutra 135. Veda vyapare such cha. Veda, difference, vyapare such, because of the description, cha, and. The passage does not refer to the jiva because of indications of difference. Sutra Prakashika. Another reason the jiva is not the abode of heaven and earth is because the scriptures affirm that the jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are different. As explained in the words, tam evaikam, Janata Atmanam. Know him to be the only Supreme Lord. From the Vishayavakya. Right? So in that original verse that we were saying from Mundakya, then it makes this point. Know him to be the only Supreme Lord. Because otherwise then it would be, if everybody's the Supreme Lord, it would mention in that context. So that means there's a difference between. It says know him, so that means you have to know, that means you're an individual and you're knowing something. So there's a difference there. So because of that difference, then it can't also being referred to the jiva. Sutra Prakashika. Another reason the jiva is not the abode of heaven and earth, because the scriptures affirm that the jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are different. Didn't we just read this? Okay, Sri Govinda Bhashya. I was thinking, wow, I got all that just from the sutra itself. I said, wow, cool. Okay.
No, when you read the second time, it makes more sense.
Yes, no, that's there. But it was just, okay. Sri Govinda Bhashya. There's another reason why the passage does not refer to the jiva. Beda vyapare sach cha. The passage does not refer to the jiva because of indications of difference. The passage says, know this one entity, tam evaikam, shows that something different from the jiva is meant. Since jivas are many, and the entity that the jiva is being told to know has to be different from the jiva itself. Because otherwise it could be another jiva, it could be anything. You know, it could be your mother-in-law. It could be, you know, so it's making the distinction there that it's not. It's something like that. Bhagavatam verse reference. Right? So these seem very simple because they're so logically presented, but these are what arguments are based on. These funny little points, arguments over a word or its context or things like that. That's why then there's so much variety is given in how you approach it. Bhagavatam verse reference. Individual souls are not supreme. They are separated from the Lord by forgetfulness. The forgetful soul cannot know the true meaning of heaven and earth. So that's the point, is that what we were saying before, is that because of this forgetfulness, if we're thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer, means I've forgotten. Right? And so in that state, then it becomes very hard to actually know that one who is different.
Who is the controller?
Yeah, who actually, that's the point. He's different. Why? Because he is the controller and enjoyer.
We all think we are.
We think we are, but he is. Yeah. You know, that's maybe why we have a tendency as things degrade to go more for mass.
Hmm.
You know, more people say it, so yeah, it must be true. You know, the vox populi. Because there's so many of us and only one of him, and we're all saying, we're all that, like that, yeah. But it doesn't work. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-57. When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material conditional life begins. Right? So Krishna's pointing out, this is how one comes into material consciousness, like that. How that happens, it just says it happens. But is that he forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness. And so then he thinks of himself in connection with the material energy. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mind, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. Okay. So one body, you get another body, and by one death, you get another death. Footnote 15. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. That is the meaning of tattvam asi. You are the Brahman. As well, temporary objects of the universe are also one with the Brahman, since they are products of the Lord's material Shakti. Though the material world is one with the Lord, it is different because it does not arise from the Surup of the Lord, right? Because there's his Icha Shakti. So he has his desire that is then in relationship between him and his devotees, based on bhakti. Now, then the expansion, one aspect of the Surup Shakti is the Maya Shakti. So simply that aspect of the Shakti then is manifesting the material world. So then everything the jiva deals with is coming from that. So that we don't call surup. Maya we don't call surup. Surup includes maya, but maya doesn't include surup. Just like Krishna, he's entered everything, but he's separate. So in the same way, as all energies are surup, but surup is separate. So the surup that's dealing with him himself as Bhagavan, that's different from what we're saying here. So that's why the material world, though it's all Brahman, it's still different from Surup. So its effect is not transcendental. Right? Though it's Brahman. Means the Pradhan is not an illusion. Right? So that's the thing. It's still situated as Brahman. But the jiva being under the influence of this material energy, then they don't identify, they forget the Lord, they don't identify with that anymore. And therefore, then, that's illusion. So that forgetfulness is the illusion. That's the cause. So how does that happen? So how does one, so then Prabhupada says, by envy, one forgets. You know, or by forgetting, one develops that envy. So in any case, this is what happens. So once the envy is there, that means I'm the controller and enjoyer. Because if the envy is there, then that means who's the result for? Ourself. So that means the process is complete. So then we are in material conditional life. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter where you are. It's not a matter of a location. Just like you can become self-realized and liberated while in the material world, you can become conditioned while in the spiritual world. It's not a locative aspect. Does that make sense? So that's it. Is that? So how do we reverse that? Remember the Lord. So always remember, never forget. Then where are you situated in the spiritual world? That's the whole idea.
But is the Bahiranga Shakti Achit?
Means when we're dealing with, when we're talking about Chit Achit Ishwara, then that's what's identified as Achit. Because we're taking it that the manifestations are eternal, but it's not. The ingredients of it are eternal. Right? Means earth, water, fire, air, and ether, they're eternal. But whether they're manifest or not manifest, then that's another thing.
Yes, but Atman is always manifest.
Yes, Brahman is always manifest. Yes.
Because your spiritual world is ever expanding, the material world is also seemingly
ever expanding, yeah, because there's. How you say? There's a what's that old saying? There's a sucker born every nanosecond. So that's us. That's all, folks. Yeah, right. So that's how we get here. So because there's more and more of us, therefore it's more and more expanding. But that means there's more and more of those who are not making the mistake, and so therefore the spiritual world is expanding.
9 times more, right?
Yeah. So 9 out of 10 go to the spiritual side, go to the light, and 1 out of 10 come to the dark. Sorry?
Took a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Yes. And it just goes downhill from there. You find yourself in Tallahassee.
Yes.
Okay. Though the material world is one with the Lord, it is different because it doesn't arise from the Sarup of the Lord. So from the Sarup of the Lord comes the spiritual realm. From the shadow of the Sarup, then you get the material world. This causes it to be destructible. Because it's coming as a shadow, therefore it manifests and unmanifests. Well, the spiritual world is always manifest. There'll be variety, but there's no change in one's position. Right? One's relationship with the Lord and the devotees is eternal. Though the variety of the Sandini potency creates all kinds of interesting things. So means all the Shaktis are creating variety, but that doesn't make anything unmanifest. Well, in the material world, the temporariness creates a end of relationships. So therefore it says, from one, then there's another body comes from another, and then from death comes another death.
Time and space gets in the way.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Since the pure jiva is included amongst the permanent real objects, because the jiva is not destructible, it is also one with the Lord, since it is the Lord's tatastha shakti. But it does not arise from the Lord's sarup. Mm-hmm. Again, right? So here is pointing out in this definition. Then we see how everything is Brahman, but we make a distinction in Brahman on what's sarup and what's not. So the jiva is not sarup. The material energy, the pradhan, is not sarup. So the Lord and his sarup, that is one thing. Now when the jivas come under the influence of the sarup, then they take on the spiritual nature. Right? Because otherwise then we say, well, if everything's Brahman, then it doesn't matter. But the point is there's still variety within Brahman. Right? That which is, yeah. So, even though the jiva is not destructible, their conditioning is. Right? So, the jiva is eternal, you know, in the way of, as the individual, and the pradhan, as a generic mass, is eternal, but as the particular manifestations are not. So the jiva identifying with those particular manifestations then come under the control of the external energy. But when they identify with the internal potency, then they come under that. That means they remember Krishna. So when you forget, then you're in illusion. You're under the external energy. So this way, we can understand how everything is Brahman, and from that, then we can progress, because once you understand how it's Brahman, and that it all has that eternal element, but the point is what aspects of that eternal element actually going to be satisfying to the soul, because simply we've shown the existence of the jiva and the existence of the material nature. And the activities of the jiva in the material nature don't give any, they give a result of material nature which are not satisfying, which are also temporary. But if the jiva who exists, right, then performs activities under the internal potency, that means then the results gained have that eternal effect. Therefore, that will satisfy the soul, because eternity, knowledge, and bliss will come. But if we have eternity in an atmosphere that of ignorance and misery, how is that going to
benefit,
right? So the eternality of the soul is not the problem. Right? We take it, oh, that's a very lofty thing. No, that's just where you start from. Right? You know, a basic preacher, we're the soul, not the body. So we're just talking about the eternal. But now what you do with that, do you work within the external or do you work within the internal? So under the sarup, under the external energy. Because just being jiva is not enough. So the impersonalists, they think, I just, you know, how you say, go back to just being the jiva with no external covering. But then the problem is they're still not under the sarup. They still can't be happy. Does that make sense? Because we have to remember, is Krishna in that position of Atmarama is still with his sarup. Well, the Tathasta on its own is not with the sarup. Its natural potential is to be under the sarup, because you can't separate. It's an expansion of the sarup, so it should be working with the sarup. We're all. That's there, but fixed in your position means seeing ourselves as as a servant of Krishna. Because that then already includes I'm going to perform activities as a result of for Krishna. Because otherwise, if we simply try to situate ourselves on the eternal platform without devotional service, then that would be very, very difficult. It's extremely dry. And, you know, how you say? That means then not only would we have to go through the whole trouble of the dry that we're working with, the rat race, have to get rid of that and accept a new dry of the impersonal, you know, that was impossible. Well, in previous ages, then it's very, you know, more easily they could accept the dry. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the forms of the associates of Bhagavan arise from the actions of the Chit Shakti, the Lord Swarup. Those associates who are Nitya Siddhas are also permanent objects, which are the Lord Swarup. Right? So the actions of. So they're functioning within the Chit, so therefore their forms of that are all Chit. But because we're functioning within the external, our forms are all made of external energy. And some jivas with desires for dasya and other relationships who have perfected themselves by pure bhakti or by mercy of nitya mukta bhaktas are included among the eternal associates as dasas. They are also considered to be non-different from the swarup of the Lord, since they are empowered by the swarup shakti. Right? So those who are situated here, they've taken up devotional service under the tutelage of these nitya siddhas. Right? So it means, in other words, coming in the parampara. They're also counted in that aspect as the surut. Right? Say they're counted in that number. Yes. Those jivas who have perfected themselves by mixed bhakti become shanta bhaktas and are not empowered by the Lord's Swarup Shakti, since they are not included among the dasas or other associates. They are also eternal objects, but not part of the Lord's Swarup. Thus there is a non-difference from the Lord because of the many, many shaktis of the Lord, Sardarka Darshani. So they're not so they're on the transcendental platform, but they're not counted within that aspect of interacting in this way. Yes.
Just a confusion. Does that mean that when we're talking about the Swarup, factually speaking, there isn't a Swarup we can attain that's shanta?
No, but you have to, the point is you can't use one word for many things. Right? You know, we're not talking about the same thing, so. Yeah. Okay. Sutra 136. Oh, the other Bhagavatam, yes. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-58. A human being can obtain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position does not understand himself, but does not understand himself as unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. So the convenient position is because one knows about Krishna. That's the whole. That's the convenience of it. The culture is more similar to the original culture. That's its natural position. But if in doing that one doesn't know the Supreme Lord, one just takes advantage of the religious aspects and elevates oneself materially, then it's a, you know, he doesn't come to the devotional platform. So it's not an automatic, because one's Indian, one's following the religion, doesn't mean automatically one actually has realization of the Supreme. Though it is very common, because everybody read Bhagavad Gita when they were 12, and so, yes. But, no.
And the inability to see India as the land of piety is our disqualification.
Yes. Totally. Doesn't mean it's just like this. Okay. Going back to our previous. Okay. Now. The land is called the land of milk and honey. Okay? But now can everybody see this milk and honey?
No.
No. Right. So certain people, they get out their pipes, make small holes in them, and roll them out on the ground. And it's nice and green, and you can see milk and honey. And then their next door neighbor, you only see sand. So it depends on one's perception, what's one values in that. So if one doesn't see the advantage in culture here, means that one's not perceiving that.
Is it that we're actually, because there's more of everything in India, so you actually see your own condition?
That's there. Means you also have, means it's like how you say, it's one third the size of America with, you know, three times the amount of people. So that means for any place, there's nine times as much people. So, you know, more is happening. So it's transforming quicker, more is going on. So it appears that there's more. You'd have that. Now it means. Now we must make a caveat here for those who are spending their time here and therefore know what is the standard and see that a lot of people, more and more, are not following the standard, and so there's more of a mess. They seeing that mess, then you can't complain. But those who can't see what's the real culture and can't perceive that, what's their business complaining about the mess? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yes. Okay, so that's then also in line with Lord Chaitanya saying, those from India, that's their business is to preach and all that. But in an emergency, then anyone from anywhere can do the preaching. Sutra 136, Prakaranat, because of the context. It does not refer to the jiva because of the context. Very short Sutra Vakashika.
I'm still not convinced.
They'll have another angle because, you know, you can argue over syllables, you know. Like ka, that means Brahma. You know, so that's the point. Syllables can be argued over. So, they're just, he's making...
Sutras are dedicated only for the jiva. One sutra was for Padana and three for the jiva.
Yeah, so it's just all, any aspect, any angle that you could...
They don't have to work, so they have time.
Yes. Yes. Another way to determine the meaning of the... Yeah, just like this. Okay. On that point, that they don't have to work. Okay. Now let us say there's something in the kitchen and the kid wants it. You say no. They come up with more arguments. Right? So many angles that you have to deal with. Why? Because they had no work.
That's right.
Okay, right? Now, your husband comes into the kitchen. He has work. He asks about that. You say no. Is there further discussion?
No.
No, because he has work. So, therefore, that your hypothesis stands. So the Mayavadis have no work, therefore they go on and on and on arguing. Another way to determine the meaning of the Vishayavakya is to examine other passages from the same Upanishad for clues. This contextual literary analysis reveals that, since Brahman is spoken of at the beginning of the text, Upakrama, there is every reason to believe that this passage is about Brahman too. So then as we go through that section that is open with Brahman, as we check, we'll see that it continues talking about Brahman. And so, therefore, it never starts talking about the jiva in this context.
But the way we use analysis, where we are checking, the sangati, you know, where the Brahman has come first and then the next. So the same logic can even be used by these, where they say that this is the passage where the jiva occurs, and therefore it means that this is jiva. You know? So the same...
No, but the point is we've already established that it can't mean the jiva by these other things. So why would it, if it doesn't mean the jiva on these levels, why would it mean the jiva on the... So we're saying it doesn't mean here, and the same logic that we're applying to show it's not the jiva, then if you apply it to the next verses, you'll see it also doesn't apply to the jiva. So it's not that the next verse you start the argument all over again. The next verse is talking about Brahman, and the definitions apply to Brahman, not the jiva, so it still doesn't mean the jiva. Shri Govinda Bhashya. Prakaranat. It does not refer to the jiva because of the context. The Upanishad begins with a question about Brahman. Kasmin nu bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavati. What is that by which, being known, all things are known? Mundaka Upanishad 113. Therefore, this passage, which follows after this initial question, should also refer to Brahman. Right? Just like in Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So that means the whole book is about that. So this being 113, that means it's within the beginning. So that beginning, then that means it sets the flavor for the whole thing. Just like we see in the Bhagavatam. It's about the Lord. Janmadhyasya yataha. It's about the... So that which everything has come from. Right? And then the sages ask the six questions. And then the whole book is about those six questions. So that's mimamsa. That's how it works. Right? Because if you have a philosophy, that philosophy is called the mimamsa. So the mimamsa means that what's at the beginning and end, that is the context of the whole work itself. So since the beginning, it's about Brahman. Therefore, it can't be suddenly about the jiva. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:22. Interesting, those are all from 6 also. The previous ones from 6, so they're all dealing the same. As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Brahman is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. So everything's coming from him. So it's not suddenly meaning something else, because the jiva is not the one. We can't say now the pot is the cause of everything, right? Because earth, what's the use of earth unless you make a pot? So therefore, the pot is the basis of earth. Right? You can't do that. Sutra 137. Stit yadha. Yadhana bhyam cha, stiti, staying, adhana bhyam, eating, cha, and. It does not refer to the jiva because of a latter statement concerning birds in a tree in which one bird eats the fruit. Right? Because both birds are not eating the fruit. So therefore, since we've established Brahman and jivas as separate, then there's that one who's eating the fruits, one who's not, and that's the supreme. Then it can't refer to the jiva. Right? Sutta Prakashita. The last sutra of this Adhikarana refers to another decisive characteristic by which Brahman and the jiva have been shown to be completely different from each other. One eats, aranabhyam, the other stays or abides, stiti. The text cited, Mundaka Upanishad, contrasts the shining glory of the Supreme Being with the miserable position of the jiva in the material world. Quite a contrast, right? Shining glory and miserable position. Yeah, that's right.
Two birds, basically.
Yeah. Shri Govindavasya. Stit yadanabhyam cha. It does not refer to the jiva because of a latter statement concerning birds in a tree in which one bird eats the fruit. Later, concerning the abode of heaven and earth, it is said, Dva suparna sayujya shakaya samanam vriksham parishas vajate tayor anyaf pipalam svaratyana snananyo abhi chakshashiti. Two beautiful birds associate in the same tree as friends. Of the two, one relishes eating the fruit, the other not eating, shines. So they're beautiful birds, that one's in a miserable position and one is in shining glory. So there is hope. Mundaka Upanishad 3:1:1. Right, because the Vishayavakya that is from was I think from the second. Yes. So in the above verse, whom does he who shines? Abhi chakshi chaksha shiti refer to? If previous to this verse, the abode of heaven and earth, referring to Brahman, had not been mentioned, then the sudden mention of Brahman in this verse, one who shines, would be meaningless. Then one who shines would have referred to the jiva. But this phrase does not refer to the jiva because it repeats a phrase which is well known as a description of the Lord. Thus, the previous reference to the abode of heaven and earth must also mean Brahman. Right? So it's talking about Brahman, this later is about Brahman, and so why wouldn't the middle one be Brahman? Mm-hmm. There would be a consistency, since it's Upanishads.
Nice try.
Yes. Bhagavatam verse reference. The difference between the Supreme Lord and the individual soul is indicated by the example of two birds. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:6. By chance, two birds have made a nest together in the same tree. The two birds are friends and are of a similar nature. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree, whereas the other, who does not eat the fruits, is in a superior position due to his potency. Footnote 16. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Vriksha, or tree, means that which is cut, vrishyate, by maya. It refers to the body, which is destroyed by maya. Right, so that's why the body is known as a tree, because vriksha means that'll be what, that which will be cut. So trees are growing, they will be cut. Right, it's just the nature. Either somebody will come along and cut them and, and walk off with them, or they'll just fall over. Right, time. But the point is they will be cut off. So the body will be cut or destroyed by maya. So that's why then it's the body being referred to as a tree. And then who lives in trees? Birds. So therefore the Atma then living in the tree then is compared in this way to birds. Shruti says, Urdvam mulam avak shakta vriksha yo veda sampati. One who knows this tree with its roots upwards and branches downwards becomes liberated. Right, so the root is up in the spiritual world, but we don't see that. Katha Upanishad 2.3.1. Smriti also says, Urdva mulam ada shakam ashvatam prahur avyayam. They say this world is an indestructible people, a tree with root upwards and branches downwards. Bhagavad Gita 15.1. In this tree, body, a nest or house, the heart, has been made out of attachment and detachment. Of the two, the jiva enjoys the fruit of karma produced by the body. Paramatma, does not eat, but is satisfied in his own bliss by the strength of his jnana shakti. Right? So then in this case, the jnana shakti, that's where Atmarama is experienced. And so the jnana shakti, he's there, existing in that position. So then he's the basis of everything. So in that way, he's just there. Kriya means then there's endeavor to create the environments for the spiritual, you know, activities or pastimes in which Icha is then therefore manifest with the Lord and his devotees. So as Paramatma is simply existing in the jnana shakti. Does that make sense? You know, so he is there complete with his jnana shakti, so he's self-satisfied. So that aspect is there. Yes.
Because Brahma Saraswati Thakur mentions in Brahma Sangeeta.
A little more loudly, please.
Yeah. In Brahma Sangeeta, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that Paramatma is the mundane manifestive portion of Krishna. So why does he mention Paramatma to be mundane?
No, mundane manifested. It doesn't mean that he's mundane. He manifests within the mundane.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Prabhupada also mentions that in, I think, the second canto, where he mentions that the concept of Brahman and Paramatma are only known to those within the material world, because in the spiritual world they only deal with Bhagavan or with Icha Shakti, so they don't, you know. That's. Adhikarana 2, the Great One. Bahuma Dikaranam. Sutta reference 1, 3, 8, and 9. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 2 shows that the Bhuman, that which is great, in Chandogya Upanishad 7.23.24, is Brahman only, and it cannot be prana, or the vital air. So that means that's how it's interpreted, as the vital air. Summary of Adhikarana 2. Vishaya. In the Chandogya Upanishad it is said, My Lord, I wish to know about Bhuman. When one attains him, one sees nothing else, hears nothing else, and knows nothing else. That is Bhuman. When one sees something else, hears something else, and knows something else, he knows that which is very small. Right? Because Bhuman means the, what we say, that which is great. Here the word Bhuman does not mean many. Here it means all-pervading. The Bhuma is contrasting against Alpa, the small. Bhuma and Alpa. The opposite of small is all-pervading, not many. Right? There's a difference there. So when it said the living entities are all-pervading, just means there's many of them, so they're just everywhere, like grains of sand on the beach, like that kind of thing. But we're not saying all-pervading means like the Lord. Because the does that make sense? Only the Lord, therefore, he is everywhere. Therefore, Bhuma here means all-pervading. Right? So we have to make a distinction here in the definition.
All-pervading.
Sorry?
Can we say all-pervading, all-pervading?
All-pervading. And all-pervading. Yeah. All-pervading, yes. Yeah, that's the meaning of ultimatus. So it means only a small amount. Shamshaya, the doubt. Does Bhuma here mean prana, life breath, or Lord Vishnu? Purvapaksha. In the passage previously to this, the Chandogya Upanishad 7.15.1. What was this one? 7. 15, okay, 23, so it's the same. Yeah, the numbering systems, they're using it different. So that's 7.15.1, yeah, they're not. So this should be 7.15.23.24. Or 7.23. And, you know, 4.
It says the passage previous to this.
The passage, though, it mentions. Oh, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Point is that it's previous.
It's previous.
Says, prano va achaya bhuyan. Prana is better than hope. Because prana is the topic immediately preceding bhuma. And because no question and answer intervenes between them, therefore prana and bhuma are the same. Right? So there's no question, because question answer separates a discussion or a topic. Or at least parts of a topic. Right? Does that make sense? That's why you see, sometimes you wonder, why do we have the questions and answers in the study of the Bhagavatam? Because that's actually what defines topics. Is that so? Because there's no topic in between, there's no question and answer between, then it must be a continuation, just like we used that logic before. It's a continuation.
Unless specifically it's been pointed out.
Yes, it wouldn't change, yes. Because prana is the topic immediately preceding bhuma, and because no question and answer intervenes between them, therefore prana and bhuma are the same. Here the word prana, life breath, means the jiva, who has breath for his companion. It does not mean merely air. So then they take it even more, is that prana means the jiva, because the jiva is the one that has life breath. Like that. So they're really stretching it, right? You know. This passage begins by describing the jiva, 7.1.3. He who knows the soul crosses beyond grief, and ends again by describing the soul, 7.26.1. The soul is everything. Therefore, the description of bhuma situated between these two statements must be a description of the jiva. Right? So the point is here, as we see again, as we go by the previous, is when we define atma, that would be the first thing to do. They're taking it atma automatically will mean jiva. But because atma we've already defined as the supreme, which is all-pervading, therefore that can't mean this jiva, because jivas are many, but not all-pervading. Right? When the Upanishad says, 7.25.1, when one attains him, one sees nothing else. It means in this interpretation that when the jiva is wrapped in deep sleep and his senses are all in the grip of prana, he cannot see anything beyond himself. But the problem is he doesn't even see himself. So when the Upanishad says, you understand how, in other words, they really have nothing to do to come up with these ones. Right? Does that make sense? Like we were saying before. The kids, then they'll go back to their room and then think about it. Okay, well, this and that, this and that. Then they'll come back with a new one. While the husband, he's got work to think about and other things, so he doesn't have time to think about new arguments.
Can we say the husband maybe also have been trained for a longer time?
That's another thing, but that's a different aspect. That's a cultural aspect. We're just talking here about just time.
Okay.
So what we're pointing out is the Maya bodies have absolutely nothing to do, so they come up with such interpretations. When the Upanishad says 7.23.1, Yovai Bhuma Tat Shukam, the Bhuma is bliss, it does not contradict the idea that the Bhuma is the Jiva here. Because the Shruti Shastra says, Tasyam Shukam Aham Asvapsyam, I slept very happily. Right? When you're dealing with Aparoksha. Right? I slept very happily. I was not conscious of it, but afterwards, if you ask, I can tell you. So therefore, I'm existing in that state of sleep. So they're using that as the point that they're absorbed in the sleep, so they know nothing about themselves, so they can tell I am happy. So they're trying to use that, which we generally use as, you know, ignorance or illusion. You know, like that they're trying to use it as the transcendental position. Right? Because they just want to experience that I am Brahman. In this way, it is proved that this passage of the Upanishad describes the Jiva. All the other portions of this passage are also very favorable to this interpretation of the Jiva.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're taking from here and there and then putting it together. Mm. But they're not going from the beginning of the Upanishad and going through. They're just taking what parts they go and then from there going out. They're not actually starting with the work itself. They're starting with something within the work that supports their philosophy and then interpreting the whole work in that way.
They're actually starting with the result they want.
Yes, and then working backwards. Yes, so it's simply reverse engineering like that. They don't. It's not direct. That's why we say it's indirect. Their understanding. Siddhanta, he speaks the conclusion. Bhuma samprasadad ayu pradeshat padeshat. The Bhuma here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of the scriptural teaching that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is superior to the Jiva's soul. Right? So Bhuma means the Great One. And so he's superior to the individual soul. Right? Does that make sense? So that always applies. But otherwise we're going to say, okay, but no, but this Jiva is talking about here because he comes to this great platform, but that's an individual Jiva. And if he gets that realization, and they want to apply that, but then that's only him, so it doesn't apply to the concept of Jiva. And then how great they are, that's another point of discussion. But you know what I'm saying? But here, Brahma is always the Great One. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point here. Okay? So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurav Premanaki.